Welcome to this special edition of the Iowa Blog. I am your host, Greg Wynn. I say special because I have a favorite topic, far and away, over everything else that we could possibly talk about, and a place to go that is more, I think, enlightening and inspiring, as empowering and enabling as anything ever written. We're going to talk about Dodd, known today as David, who was the king of Israel, the Messiah, whom Yahweh anointed three times. The one person that Yahweh also three times said, he is my son and I am his father. Dodd, the very person that the counterfeit known as Jesus was modeled after. The very person that the counterfeit known as Bar Kokhba, the false Messiah that began rabbinic Judaism, was conceived to replace. Dodd David is the most remarkable man who ever lived. He is the most interesting, the most brilliant, the most articulate. He is the central figure of God's story. He is our Savior, and he is our returning King. And so there is so much to this man's life, to what he means to us, what he means to Yahweh, our God, that my favorite place, my happy place, my uplifting and inspiring place is what I have come to call Dodd's song. Now, in this case, Dodd's song is not labeled as such, but it's obvious that that's what it is. It is the 89th Mizmor, or 89th Psalm. And it was brought to us in year 3000, yeah, not approximately, exactly. It is essentially the very cornerstone of the house for Yahweh's name. The house for Yahweh's name, mislabeled the temple, was laid in year 996. 968 BCE, 968 BCE, exactly 1,000 years after Abraham and Yitzhak climbed Mount Moriah to this very place and affirmed the covenant relationship with Yahweh. That was in 1968 BCE, which was exactly 2,000 years after Adam and Chawa were expelled from the garden in 3968 BCE. I suppose you're seeing a pattern develop here. And exactly 1,000 years after this cornerstone was laid, Dodd's song was sung for the first time in Jerusalem upon Mount Moriah, as the very cornerstone of Yahweh's home for the covenant family was laid. 1,000 years exactly. Dodd returned to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim in the city of Dodd, in the heart of Jerusalem, on Mount Moriah. And 2,000 years from that event, in 2033 CE, Dodd will return with Yahweh to fulfill Yom Kippurim and to be the king over Sukkah. Time, in terms of the time from the garden to our return to the garden, the 6,000 years, is set based upon the dates, the life of our Savior, Dodd, David. And so this song is about him. It was written about 3.5 years after his first parting. And that's interesting because it's apparent that Dodd arrived 3.5 years before fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim in 33 CE, year 4000, yeah. And he will return on Kippurim 3.5 years after the final two witnesses announce his arrival, and Elia and Yada. 3.5 years is an important designation of time. And so I wanted you to be aware of these things as we commence what will be a many-part series. We're going to take our time. We're going to absorb every nuance of nourishment that can be derived from these words, as Yahweh inspired these lyrics on behalf of his son so that we would know him, so that his life would be celebrated, so that his lyrics would be understood, and in hopes that we would not do what we humans have done and create two devastating religions based upon counterfeiting the lives and lyrics of this man. It is my view that this revelation should be on everyone's lips and echoed throughout all time. Let us begin Dode song. I want to sing about. I have chosen to lift up my voice in song, genuinely ascribing my choice of lyrics to melodious sounds accompanied by instruments aesthetically conveying my ongoing desire, its sheer, as it is shaded in the call imperfect cohortative, the eternal and everlasting love, the steadfast devotion, enduring favoritism, unfailing affection, and genuine mercy of Yahweh. On behalf of all generations throughout time, with my mouth, I will make known your trustworthiness and your dependability. Mizmor lyrics to be sung, 89:1. Let's examine what Yahweh inspired us to read, to be inspired by ourselves. It says, I want to sing. Now, this could be the prophet that he used to convey these words. This could be in Yahweh's voice. It really doesn't matter because it conveys Yahweh's intent, and the person who wrote these words down is really irrelevant to us. What's relevant is what God had to sing about his favorite lyricist and songwriter, his beloved son, Dode. I want to sing about the eternal and everlasting love, the steadfast devotion, enduring favoritism, and unfailing affection, genuine kindness of Yahweh. Yahweh not only manifests these characteristics, chesed olam, they are literally emblazoned into his relationship with the man whom he introduced to us as his beloved, Dode, which is what Dode means, as his chosen one, as his firstborn son. And Yahweh's mercy, his perpetual kindness and generosity, even the benefits that Yahweh is bestowing upon those who embrace his love for Dode, are on behalf of all generations throughout time. Dode is the gift that keeps on giving, and Yahweh is the gift giver. He gave Dode to us. He is the son who was given to us, the ultimate gift that delivers an eternity of exceedingly valuable presence, eternal life, perfection, enrichment, empowerment, adoption into God's covenant family. These are Yahweh's gifts through his collaboration with Dode. My mouth, I will make known. Yada. This is the name that I chose to use for the first 10 years of this endeavor. I'm now 23, almost 24 years into it, as I have sought to correctly translate Yahweh's testimony in the most amplified and meaningfully accurate way possible. And it is Yada that I chose because it's just such a perfect term to place before Yahweh's name, which I reintroduced to the world. Yada means to know, to be familiar with, to acknowledge, to reveal, to accept, to appreciate, and to understand. It was written here in the Hifl imperfect, which means that the speaker is serving as a understudy, if you will, to the one inspiring him, becoming ever more like him. And it was written in the imperfect, which means this knowledge would have unfolding consequences throughout time. So with my mouth, I will make known with ongoing benefits to reveal, to demonstrate that I am familiar with and that I will acknowledge and I will accept, even appreciate your trustworthiness and dependability. Emuna. I see Emuna written on various places and people want to equate it with faith. It does not mean faith. In fact, it's the opposite of faith. When you don't know someone or something well enough to trust it, to depend upon it, the gap is filled with faith. To believe is to not know. If you know, there's no reason to believe. People ask me all the time, what do you believe? Nothing. I know or I don't know. And what I know is essential to you knowing God. So with my mouth, I will yada. I will make known. I will acknowledge. I will accept. I will appreciate. Yahweh, that you are trustworthy and dependable. You are reliable because you do not change. You are steadfast in your commitment to the truth. It's from Emun, enduring truth, and Aman, to support, to validate, to confirm, to uphold that which is trustworthy. One of the reasons is those who listen to this program, and I encourage you to go to yadayah.com and open these books up. This particular review is from the first volume of Coming Home, A Voice Kol, which means voice in Hebrew. There are three volumes currently on the bookshelf, all free in Coming Home. The third volume was the most recent that we have published. And the fourth volume I'm currently working on and developing from and sharing aspects of it in these programs. So Coming Home, A Voice, Volume 1. And what you will find is that I have crafted these translations differently than anyone has ever presented them. So when I see various sites using my testimony to advance whatever agenda they may have or just to convey this one, and I see the bold font followed by a parenthetical written in the normal typeface with the Hebrew words presented in italics followed by an amplification of the what is presented in the bold, I know that I'm reading one of my own translations. I'm the only person who's ever done it this way. And one of the reasons that I did it is I wanted the most germane form of the Hebrew word presented within the text itself so that you could do what Yahweh is saying he is. You could validate whether these translations were trustworthy, whether my depictions of what God said were indeed accurate and reliable. And so if you're reading this online, which is a real advantage because, well, first of all of my books, all 35 of them are free in their entirety online at the bookshelf at yadayah.com. But when you're online, you can copy and paste any one of these words into any number of search engines. As a matter of fact, we're also creating a glossary that my good friend and co-host of the Family Hour at Yadayah, Torah Study, has composed, and a number of other Covenant family members are putting it into digital form. Because my good friend Kirk is an artist and he is even more analog than I am. But you can validate everything that I'm sharing with you. All of the proof for it is found in the books of the Yada Yahwa series or under an Introduction to God, Coming Home, Observations. It's all there for you to read. God is indeed trustworthy and reliable. This is Ms. Moore, Lyrics to Sing, Psalm 89:1. Now, those who know Yahweh, actually know Yahweh, who use his name and who study his revelations, realize that he is eternally loving and merciful. Not of everyone, not of everything, but of those things which are in harmony with his intent, that are consistent with his testimony. absolutely and invariably devoted to his family, his covenant. It is the reason we exist. His affection is everlasting, spanning eons of time. And while that is all true, it should be known that Yahweh reaches out to those he prefers over others. Free will applies not only to us, but to God. God has the right, since he created the universe and conceived life, to choose whom he wants to develop a relationship with. You know, if you'll notice, Yahweh chose Adam. If you'll notice, Yahweh chose Noah. If you'll notice, Yahweh chose Abraham and Sarah. And of course, in the most important relationship ever conceived, Yahweh chose Dod. He said, no, there's other sons. They won't do. I want you to summon from Bethlehem this one. He is my chosen. And of course, you just read the story of the Exodus, where Yahweh introduces his name to us. It's preceded by an account that reveals to us the unique characterizations that were manifest and the stunning character of Moshe that caused Yahweh to choose him for that important mission, not only revealing the Torah, but liberating his people. And so God gets to choose just as we do. And he only chooses those who have previously disassociated themselves from reason and politics. He chose, as I said, Adam and Chawa, Noah and his family, Abraham and Sarah, Yishak and Yaakov, the children of Yisrael are his chosen people. I only wish they had chosen him in return. Moshe, of course, and Aaron, Yahusha and Caleb, two stalwarts of the Exodus process. Of course, the great judge and prophet, Shamuel, and Eliah, the ultimate orator, but none to the extent of his beloved son, Dod. And this song is about him. Yahweh is trustworthy. It's such a simple concept with extraordinary implications, because very few men or women have ever been. Rather than being all-loving, omnipresent, or omniscient, and therefore irrelevant, God is honest. He is reliable. Nothing is more valuable to mankind than his steadfast commitment to the truth, along with the tools that he has provided for us to independently verify that his words were inspired by a being that was unconstrained in time or in space. If this were not true, it would not matter what else he had to say. This message was therefore written for Dor Wah Dor. I like Dor because it has the letters in Dod's name. The Daleth is a doorway into a home. It's the first and final letters of Dod's name. The Wah is the vowel in Dod's name that makes it such that you would pronounce it as Dod. The Wah in Dod's name also directs us how to pronounce Yahweh's name correctly. The Yod, the He, and the final He are derived from the pronunciation of the very verb that Yahweh said is the basis of his name, Haya. And Dod then tells us, his son tells us the proper way to pronounce the Wah in his name. It is Dod. Now, Dor has a third letter. That letter is a Rosh. The Rosh was drawn originally as a person's head with eyes and ears and a mouth and, of course, a brain, so that it embodies what it means to have both a nefesh soul, a consciousness, to be accurate, and a nesama, a conscience, which enables us to perceive that which is around us. Think about it. be judgmental and discerning about what we have seen and then respond appropriately. And so door, it would be the doorway to inclusion for those who are observant, who are responsive, and who think about what God and his son Dode have achieved together. Dode and Dor. Dor, wah, Dor. Every generation throughout time. And this pertains to the home and the family of God is what Dor, wah, Dor conveys. And when it comes to benefiting from these things, there is only one way to yada, to know. And that is to investigate and consider every nuance of every word our Heavenly Father shared with us. What you may believe is irrelevant, as are your opinions, all that really matters when it comes to God is knowing. And better than knowing is understanding. And even better than understanding is accepting and then acknowledging the truth that he has conveyed, because it is the essence of why we are here, the very essence of life. Yes, indeed, the lyrics continue. Okay, this is surely true that I say, for now and forevermore, Olam, the spiritual realm of the heavens, Shamaim, was established and is continually built to procreate a restored, prosperous, and productive family, Bana, based on the foundation of love, devotion, favoritism, kindness, generosity, and mercy, Chesed. You have fashioned and formed it to be manifest within it as your authentic character, your trustworthiness, and your reliability. 89.2. Yes, indeed. Ki means surely. This is an important insight that you ought to consider. Amar is the Hebrew word for to communicate using words. I say, I expressed in words, declaring and intending to say, now and forevermore. Olam means eternity in Hebrew. The spiritual realm, the very place that Yahweh is inviting us to enter by accepting the conditions of his covenant based upon the fulfillment of his Moed Mikre, invitations to be called out and meet through the restoring witnesses. It was established and was built to procreate a restored, prosperous, and productive family. Bana is based upon Ben, which is child, and with the ah ending, it makes it feminine, and the Bereth covenant is a family relationship that is also feminine. And so this is what God established. He did all of this, and now he is talking about his relationship with his son, Dode. All of it was established with Dode to procreate a restored, prosperous, and productive family. It was conceived as a home to raise and fortify children, doing so on the basis of genuine love, actual devotion, favoritism, which means those who accept the conditions of the covenant are favored by God, who is exceedingly kind, enormously generous and merciful, Chesed, affectionate and supportive. And all of this has been fashioned and formed, Hun, to manifest within it Yahweh's and Dode's authentic character, trustworthiness, and reliability. Yahweh's entire purpose in creating the universe and life within it has been affirmed through Bana, to conceive children and build a family. His chesed, devotion to it, and love for those who are part of it are olam, everlasting. by having the psalmist begin by addressing the intent and nature of Yahweh's heavenly home in the seventh dimension, we realize that by coming to better appreciate what Dod has done for us, we are afforded the opportunity to join him there. The covenant's eternal home in the heavens was built on love. It is a place for God's family to thrive and to grow. And it is there that those who have come to know and trust Yahweh, based upon his depiction of himself throughout the Torah and prophets, will find that he is exactly as he has presented himself. Our Heavenly Father is approachable, he's kind, he's lovable, he's genuine, he's welcoming and exceedingly generous. He is also trustworthy, which means that we can rely upon everything he inspired his prophets to write on our behalf. When Yahweh says that he, Emunah, will establish and authenticate his trustworthiness and reliability in the spiritual realm of the heavens, he is telling us that we can count on him delivering on the promises he made through the Bereth covenant and the Mikre invitations to meet, and through his son, Dod. While he demonstrates that his word is reliable in the here and now through prophecy, it would be unwise for him to overexpose the benefits of heaven, lest it attract people for the wrong reasons. What follows is now in Yahweh's voice. God equates Dod, the beloved, with the Bereth covenant. God unequivocally states that Dod is Labashar. He is the chosen one. He isn't among the chosen. He is Yahweh's chosen one. This affirms that Yahweh Shabbah swore an oath to Dod because he is God's Ebed, ultimate co-worker, his associate, through whom he collaborated not only to reveal the truth to us, not only to exemplify the covenant, but to fulfill the Mikre. And that's important because Yahweh never reneges on a promise, a realization he will make irrefutable in this song. God's next statement reads, I have established, cutting through separation, the Bereth covenant for the family home through my Bashar, through my chosen one. I have sworn an oath, and I will affirm this promise seven times over to Dod, my Ebed, authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. Ebed Eni. Mizmor, lyrics to be sung. Psalm 89:3. That's it. It's the end of the myth of Christianity. It's the end of the mythos of Judaism. Of course, Islam was dead before it began because the Quran's the worst book ever written. But Christianity appeared to be a plausible lie because it sought to rob Yahweh's chosen one, the one through whom Yahweh made his vow, the one through whom Yahweh collaborated, the one through whom Yahweh fulfilled the Moed Mikre. It sought to counterfeit him. And because counterfeits are designed to look like the genuine article when they are not only worthless, they're illegal, such is the nature of the Christian religion. And it is laid bare here. It is also the case with Judaism, because rabbinical Judaism began when the father of rabbinic Judaism, Rabbi Akiva, foisted a false Messiah on the world. Rather than acknowledge all of these things that had been written a thousand years earlier about Dod that are exceedingly clear, which would have cleared the way, cleaned the slate of this emerging myth of Christianity, rather than just acknowledge the truth that God had revealed, Rabbi Akiva decided to fight a lie with another lie and foisted another false Messiah on his people and it had devastating consequences. And yet, in rabbinic Judaism, Jews still celebrate the life of the man that caused the diaspora, that put them in the position where they would have to endure the Holocaust, where they were booted from their land, who lied to them about this false Messiah. They even have a flag with a six-pointed star that is based on Bar Kokhba, son of a star, even though they falsely ascribe it to Dode. Remember, everything about God's chosen one has been counterfeited by the religious. This is among the most powerful statements ever written, and it's one of 100 such statements in this powerful song. It is filled with one after another. And so here we find that karat is used. Karat is the term that is most associated with Yahweh's cutting of an establishing of the covenant. It means to cut through separation. The reason that circumcision exists as the sign of the covenant, it is to separate the foreskin, to separate this point of conception of life and the next child in the family, the point of where that occurs, to create a cutting and separation to reflect this very nature that the covenant was not only established, it was cut through separation, separating those who would be children of God's family from all of those who are estranged from him, which would include everyone who is overtly political and religious. So God has established cutting through separation, karat. I have created, making a resolution by cutting off, as in the case of circumcision, a solemn agreement between the parties with stipulations, with responsibilities and benefits, and the call perfect. The Bereth covenant for the family and home. Bereth, the family-oriented relationship agreement which brings individuals together with action and commitment and engagement in accordance with the stipulations required by both parties to that agreement. Bereth is based upon Be'eth. The only difference between Bereth and Be'eth is the addition of a Rosh. You know, it begins with the same letters all the way through. And it's essential to know, what does Be'eth mean? Well, Dode came from Bethlehem, which is the home or house of bread. Yahweh speaks of the house built, a home built on the Temple Mount as a home for his name. It's Be'eth Shem. It is a home for the covenant family. Be'eth means family, household, home, and house. And Bereth is based upon those concepts with the addition of having a Rosh, which I explained just a moment ago, is in the form of a human head, ears to listen, eyes to see, a mind to process that information, and then a mouth to express our resolve regarding what we have observed and heard and thought about. So the Bereth is a Be'eth for observant and thoughtful individuals. I have established cutting through separation, the Be'eth covenant, for the family and home through my Bashar, my chosen one. Again, one of Dode's most important titles. Now, Dode is typically rendered just to the king of Israel. Melech is just one of probably 40 titles that are applied to this remarkable man. And one of the most important is Bashar. Yes, Dode is Yahweh's Ma'ashe. He is the Messiah. And Yahweh tells us so in this song. He is the Zeroa, the Passover lamb, and sacrificial lamb of Pesach, and Yahweh tells us so in this song. He is the Son of God, yes, and Yahweh will tell us so in this song. He has many things that are important to us, and one of those is Labashar, God's chosen one. When you recognize, as God just explained to us, that Dod is Yahweh's chosen one, one of the single most important things in our lives should be to figure out why. Why did God choose him versus any one of the other 100 billion people who have come this way? Why this man? What was it about Dod? What attributes did he possess? What attitude did he convey that would cause the creator of the universe to say, this man out of 100 billion humans is my choice. I choose him. Do you know? Do you care? Does it matter to you? Do you want God to say to you, I choose you too? Well, then emulate Dod's attributes, his attitudes, his proclivities, because then you will be appealing to God. What made this man special? Brilliant. He was a phenomenal student of the Torah and prophets. He listened to God. He responded based upon God's instructions. When he goofed, he went back and he corrected his mistakes. He was articulate. He was bold. He was courageous. He defended his people. He wrote vociferously about what he learned. He was always willing to study, to learn, and to share. And Dod loved Yahweh. He knew Yahweh. He loved Yahweh. He trusted Yahweh. These are attributes that if you share, if you come to understand what it was about this man that caused him to be God's favorite person. Yes, Yisrael represents God's chosen people. Yehudim means beloved of Yah. Dod was the exemplar of Yisrael, the good and the bad. He was the very best of Yahud. But Dod was far more than that. He was God's beloved son and the implement through whom he worked to deliver mercy on our behalf and to reveal his enduring love because of this man's exceptional qualities, attributes, and attitudes. He is my chosen one. On behalf of the individual I have personally decided upon, having preferred and selected under the auspices of free will, the one I favor more than any other for a special relationship and affection. From Bashar, to choose, to decide. Bashar is the verb that exemplifies free will in Hebrew. And Bashan, to test, examine, and scrutinize. Not that Dod was tested, although he had to pass an amazingly important exam as he wrote about how to properly observe the Torah in the 119th Mizmor. And when he volunteered to serve as the Passover lamb, but he's there for us to test, examine, and scrutinize the will of God, the purpose of God, the means to approach God. Yahweh swore an oath to a single individual. And he says, I have sworn an oath, and I will affirm this promise 7 times over to Dod. Dod's name is right here. There is no mistaking that this song was written about him and that Yahweh now is speaking in first person about Dod, his chosen one, whom he swore an oath. You know, we're all still caught up in the religious acts that, you know, people are asked to swear an allegiance to false gods. You know, in Islam, it's the Pledge of Aqaba, where 20 pagans, after Muhammad was laughed out of Kabbaville and Shame pledge to wage war against all humankind. And there's a conversion oath in Christianity as well, and a whole conversion process in Judaism. But no one ever thinks about it from the way that God intended. God's not looking for us to swear an oath to him. Swore an oath to us and to this man. Shabba. And it's seven times over. Shabba is the Hebrew word for seven, and it is the Hebrew word for promise. The promise of seven. To doubt. Concerning the beloved. My Ebed, authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. Ebed is such an insightful word when it relates to Yahweh. God has chosen to work with us and through us. He worked with and through Moshe. He worked with and through Noah. He worked with and through all of his prophets. Yahweh picks people along the way that have attributes and attitudes that he can use to properly convey his message to his people so that we know who he is, what he is offering, what he expects in return through his engagement and collaboration with certain individuals. Dod was the most important of them, Moshe the second. So I have sworn an oath, God speaking in first person, and I will affirm this promise seven times over to Dod, my Ebed, authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. All of the preamble to this of Yahweh expressing himself as reliable and dependable, merciful, kind, generous, is all expressed through what they accomplished together, because God and his beloved fulfilled Pesach Matzah and Bukurim, 1,000 Yah, in 33 CE, exactly 1,000 years after this cornerstone of words was laid on Mount Moriah and in exactly the same place. There's a wonderful symmetry to everything Yahweh has said and done. Yahweh's opening declaration in Dod's song is as inspiring and profoundly important as anything I have ever read or that you will ever hear. He said, I have established through cutting, through separation, the bereth covenant for the family and home through Ani Bashar, my chosen one. The person I prefer and I have decided upon. I have sworn an oath and will affirm this promise seven times over. Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, Shavuah, Teruah, Kippurim, and Sukkah. With my beloved Dod, my Ebed, Ani, my authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. This declarative statement in God's voice reveals his nature, describes how he works, and presents what he is trying to achieve. It affirms that the Bereth covenant is foremost on his mind. This means that Yahweh's priority is to be our father and to raise his family in his home by working with his son. All of these things were first shared with humankind in these words and in the words of the great prophet Moshe and through Yahweh's prophets all the way through 447 BCE with Malachi being the last of them. And then there was complete silence. There hasn't been a prophet since. And no one, not a single person on the planet, understood what God had shared. Had any idea who Yahweh is, what he's offering or expecting in return. No one had a proper understanding of what the covenant family represents. What are the conditions to participate in it? What are the benefits we receive through it? How are they facilitated through the Mikra? And what role did Dod, God's chosen one, his co-worker, play to bring them to fruition? Until Yahweh inspired me with his seven spirits to not only come to understand this message, but to share it with you. That is why we're here. This underscores the value of the Bereth covenant and of Dod being the exemplar of it, and of Yahweh's love for not only his son, but his ability to provide great generosity and favoritism to all who accept and benefit from what they have achieved. The realization that the Bereth is karat, cut, and established through separation is relevant because God's home is distinctly different. It is set apart from the human experience. It is uncommon. And this is really important for everyone to understand, because what is the single most prevailing and prominent aspect of the human experience? You know? What one thing is shared by more humans than anything else and has been true all the way through recorded history? Religion. What second? Human governmental and control schemes. Therefore, if those things are the most common, and Yahweh is saying that his covenant family is set apart from those things, Kodesh in Hebrew, Karat in the terms of the covenant, separated from them, it is not religious. It is not political. It is not patriotic. Heaven, God's family, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, all of these things are set apart and special, and therefore they are not religious. They are not political. If your approach to God is through politics and religion, you are set apart from him. It is only through the covenant and the Mikra and the work that Yahweh and Dod accomplished together that we can be set apart unto them. Therefore, it is unlike human renditions, particularly those portrayed by religion, popular culture, and politics. And because it is unique and therefore uncommon to be part of it, one must disavow the perceptions which have become universally accepted. That's why the lone prerequisite, there are five conditions of the covenant. One of them is a prerequisite, and that is to walk away from Babel, the confusing intermixing of religion and politics, all designed to confound, from the culture of man, from the family of man, so that we can be set apart unto God. It is the lone prerequisite of the four conditions of the covenant. And it is echoed right here through Karat. Second, Karat Bereth implies that there are some guiding principles associated with God's family. This highlights the fact that there are requirements for entry that must be met and benefits that are assured to those who accept them. As such, the covenant is a uniquely beneficial agreement and participatory partnership. Third, the recognition that the Bereth family home is established through Dod means that the Messiah and Son of God was instrumental in the process. And since every covenant member accepts the conditions to receive the benefits of the Bereth, Dod's life and lyrics exemplify the path to inclusion. And more importantly, he was instrumental in delivering the awards, these benefits of the covenant. The covenant's benefits are derived from the first fulfilled Moedim, Pesach, Passover, where we gain eternal life. Matzah, unyeasted bread, where the fungus of religion and politics is removed from us. By Dod, having his nefesh carry the burden of our guilt into Sheol to deposit it there, never to be seen again. And then Bukhurim, where we are adopted into God's family. We follow the firstborn son of Yah into the family home, enriched and empowered. All of which Yahweh fulfilled through Dod. They collaborated. They abed. They worked together. One of the many ways that Yahweh's bereth differs from the human paradigm is that our father gets to choose his children. Isn't that an interesting concept? And his potential sons and daughters are afforded the opportunity to accept or reject him. While men and women can decide to conceive children, there are no auditions, there are no checklists for preferred attitudes, attributes, or abilities. We get what comes out. It's not the case with Yahweh. By contrast, as the Bashar chosen affirms, Yahweh selects, makes contact with, and introduces himself to those with the character and personality traits he prefers. While we cannot choose our birth parents, we are blessed with free will when it comes to engaging in God's heavenly family, his spiritual family. And we get to choose our Heavenly Father. And he is forever. Volition is fundamental to all loving relationships. And mutually beneficial partnerships are all based upon volition, free will. If you are compelled, then it isn't a partnership. It is a gift of God, and it is given for a reason. Yahweh makes a number of promises throughout the Torah, and he is committed to honoring all of them. And he wants us to be able to freely choose based upon what he has conveyed. The first were shared, of course, with Adam and then with Noah. But the most vital of these were presented to Abraham during the covenant's inception. And now God is affirming that he intends to honor the promises through Dod, who will serve as his Ebed, co-worker, literally fulfilling them. Therefore, since the benefits of the bereth were demonstrated during the Yatzah Exodus and delivered through the Mikra invitations to be called out and meet, father and son fulfilled them together, Pesach, Matzah, and Bukhurim. Shavuah, this upcoming harvest will be the result. By opening with Karat Beath, Yahweh has affirmed the purpose of creation, the reason for our existence. He is also sharing an insight into the nature of the relationship he had with Dod. God wants to enjoy life's greatest blessing. Raising children and interacting with his children, starting with his very favorite person, his son, and our Messiah and King. Since it is essential to our understanding, bear with me a moment, is while I underscore really the full implications of Karat, the term that means he cut the covenant, that he established it through separation. The verb speaks primarily of separation, of letting us know that the covenant would be uncommon, that it would be for the discerning who can discriminate between right and wrong, good and bad. It is distinct from popular religious rhetoric and political platitudes. To become part of the bereth, one has to cease being party to anything which competes with it or contradicts it. And therefore, we must disassociate ourselves from, well, progressive nonsense, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. There is no quarter in the covenant for anyone who has overtly aligned themselves with the liberalism and the irrational nature of progressiveness, of Judaism, of Christianity, or Islam. or even conspiracies. In that the primary definition of karat is to cut, it exemplifies the sign of the covenant, which I've shared with you, which is circumcision, and it demonstrates that we are to be set apart. Here and elsewhere, the Bereth covenant family is singular, and that never changes. We are either participants in the one Yahweh created with Abraham and enabled through Dode, or we are estranged from God. There is no new or replacement covenant. That is absolute nonsense. That is not what was written in Yirmiyah. In Yirmiyah, after saying that it will be with Yisrael and with Yehudim, not with Goyim, certainly not with the church, with Yehudim and Yisrael, that Yahweh said, I will reaffirm my covenant. And what he says is it won't be different than the covenant that he established with Abraham because the same terms and conditions apply. He says that his interaction with us in this reaffirmation of the covenant will be different than the way that he interacted with Yisrael during the Exodus. Why? Because during the Exodus, the people that he liberated from human religious and political schemes did not know him. And the only way that he could liberate them was to grab them firmly by the hand, didn't ask them. He took them out of Mitzrayim, Egypt, and he brought them to the promised land through the revelations in the Torah. And he says that it was with this firm hand being resolute with them that he made this occur. And the reaffirmation of the Torah, he says, is going to be different than that. Because this time, it's your free will. You get to Bashar as well. You get to choose whether or not you want to grasp Yahweh's hand, whether you want him to lift you up, whether or not you want him to be your father and to be part of his family. It's your choice. He is not going to strong arm you. You will not come kicking and screaming, but joyfully. Thoughtfully, lovingly, and by choice. It's one of the most profound insights that anyone can share with you. And of course, it negates everything there is about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, as well as the progressive dictates of control and the massive influence of government. Powerful, isn't it? What we can learn from God. So in spite of the rabbinical protestations and Christian proclamations, there is no covenant with Judaism, and there is no new covenant. There's only one Bereth. Its conditions never change. The only thing that ever changes, as it's described in Yirmiyah 31, is Yahweh's approach to the people that he is inviting into it. Where normally he chooses and we get to respond. In that particular case, Jews would have been obliterated. There would have been no Yisrael. There would have been no opportunity for us to know these things had God not grasped them by the hand and forcefully pulled them out of slavery and the control of most powerful nation on earth at the time. This is God's story. You can either accept it or you can reject it. And I can tell you for certain, the notion of a new covenant in Christianity is the ultimate approach to foolology. It is ridiculous. There is no support for it. As a matter of fact, in that one passage, it actually speaks of a renewing of the covenant. Do you know what God says is the difference? Beyond the fact that you come willingly as opposed to being grabbed by a firm hand, you know what God says is the one thing that is different? He says that he's going to inscribe his Torah inside of us. So how could you have a new covenant that annuls the Torah, that replaces the Torah, that speaks against the Torah, when the solution for the renewal of the covenant is God literally writing a copy of his Torah inside of us? It makes the whole Christian delusion, utter nonsense. And it is Christianity that caused so many, billions of people, to be unaware of Yahweh's relationship with Dode, the fact that he made these promises to Dode, that Dode was his chosen one, not the counterfeit Jesus. That Dode is the Son of God, that Dode is the Messiah, not that counterfeit, and most certainly not Rabbi Akiva's counterfeit either. We should remain cognizant also of the context. God preceded this pronouncement about the role Dode plays in his covenant by inspiring the psalmist to affirm that he conceived the heavens to procreate and restore his family. He explained that his home was predicated on love, and he inspired his lyricist to say that we would be wise to trust and rely upon his testimony. This then leads to the bold declaration about Dode being Yahweh's Bashar, chosen one, through whom he would establish his family and bring his people home. By stating, La Bashar Ani, with my chosen one, Yahweh has affirmed the paramount importance of free will. He has also affirmed that it works both ways. God can choose to include or exclude whomever he wishes within his family, just as we are free to express our desire to be adopted in it. Now, we've just passed the hour mark, and therefore we're going to conclude part one of Dode's song, and we'll return to this on another day. I thank you for listening. This has been the Yahweh Blog, and I am your host, Craig Wynn.